Why I'd like to speak what I call Inyanei D'Yoma, things that have to do with Masechet Yoma. I guess you might call it a unique relationship with Masechet Yoma. My father, Alav HaShalom, passed away many, many years ago on Yud Gimel Tishrei. So the first year, I wanted to make a siyum. So I think maybe Daf Yomi was around Yom. I wasn't sure, but I figured Yom is a good opportunity to learn something. Yom, of course, is about Masechet, is a whole Masechet that deals with Yom Kippur, the Avodah, and that. Thank you. Thank you. The Avodah and Yom Kippur and all of the halachos of Yom Kippur. And it's just about 80 blot, so I figured I would start at around Rosh Chodesh Elul. You do two blot a day, and you can finish it just around Yom Kippur time, so I could make it, you know, 2-3 days after Yom Kippur, I was able to make a seal. And it also is, it's very nice to learn Yoma. I daven for the Yomud on the Shliach Tzibur for Musaf on Yom Kippur, so it's a nice way to start to get to Yom Kippur and do the Avodah, and say the Avodah when you have actually learned the Gemara's about it, Mishnah's about it. So the next year, I also did Yoma, and it's become now a little bit of a minhag for me that every single year, Rosh Chodesh Elul comes around, I start learning Masechet Yoma, and I make a siyum for my father on his yard site, Masechet Yoma, and also this gives me a chance to review the halachos before I daven Musaf. So Mirtz Hashem, this year will be the 15th year that I'm learning Masechet Yoma. So 15 years of learning Masechet Yoma, and every year around Sukkot time, we make a kiddush in our house, and we invite everybody from the neighborhood to come by, and I have to have something to say about it. So it's not only that you have to learn Masechet Yoma, but all year long, I'm always listening. My ears are kind of, you know, like just tuned to the frequency. Whenever I hear anything that has Yoma in it, I make a note of it to see if there's something that I could maybe learn and investigate for the siyum that we made. So over the 15 years and the siyumim that I've made on Masechet Yoma, I have some, I think, worthwhile chidushim. And one of those chidushim I'm going to talk about with you today. And when I, you know, Yair sits next to me near in shul, and he was asking me, you know, like 14 times, 15 times, you learned Masechet Yoma. Like, there's nothing new in there, eh? Well, the truth is, there's a lot new, partially because my mind is such that I forget it from year to year. That's certainly part of it. But besides for that, Yoma is an absolutely beautiful and wonderful Masechta, and it's got so much in it. So every single year I learn, can't tell you how much new there is to learn there. Today we're going to do a shir, Yirtz Hashem, and we're going to talk about one word, and in fact we're going to talk about one letter. So the entire shir today is about one letter. What am I talking about? Okay, let's look, if we can, Masechet Yoma, Perek Gimel. If anybody has a Yoma, you can have it. If not, you're going to get to the Machzor in a second. You know what? Open up the Machzor, if you can, to the Avodah of Yom Kippur, and we're going to be doing the first Vidui of the Kohen Gadol. So let me just very, very briefly, for everybody's review, let's go over the Avodah on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol switches Begadim. He starts off his day. All of the Avodos, Ko Avodot Shebi Yom Kippur, Einu Ksherim El Abo, all of the Avodos of the day, even those that were normally done by other Kohen, by regular Kohanim, for example, the Karban Tamid, for example, the Hatavat, Chamesh Neirot, Hatavat, Shtei Neirot, all of those things, Haktarat, Haktoret, all of the normal things that were done by regular Kohanim every single day, Einu Ksherim El Abo, and Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to do them. So he's a regular Kohen at the beginning of the day, and so he wears his regular big day kihuna, not the regular big day kihuna of the normal Kohen, of course, but of the Kohen Gadol, Shmona Begadim, and he's got an ephod, and a choshen, and a me'il, mitznefet, and an avnet, all of these different things that he wears. And that's the way he starts off his day. Then he changes into the special Begadim for Yom Kippur, Okay, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to do Korban Tamid, Haktarat HaKetoret, the regular Ketoret on the Mizbeach, inside the Heichal, lighting the menorah, all of the things that have to be done. He starts off in his regular big day, Tcheler, or big day Zahav, depending on what you want to call it. Then he switches to his Begadim that are special for the Yom Kippur. And what are those Begadim? No. Plain white. They're the big day Lavan. Okay, then he's going to switch to the big day Lavan. And these are basically the same Begadim that the Kohen Hedyot wears all the time, except for one very, very key, important difference. He wears an avnet, made out of all white. It's a machokas in the Gemara and Yoma whether or not the avnet of the regular Kohen Hedyot was also white. But anyway, he switches. On Yom Kippur, he's all white. No gold, no tcheled, nothing. He's wearing all white, and this is the begadim that he's going to wear when he does the special avodot for Yom Kippur. And those special avodot, especially the first ones, we'll go through them now. Okay, the first thing he does is he has a par, a cow, and he's going to shech that par. But before he shechs the par, he goes over to the par and he does vidui on the par. We're going to see it inside of the machzor in a second. He does vidui on the par. Then he does goral. There's two different goats. Very similar, right? Exactly the same looking. He picks out of the lottery which one is going to be Lashem and which one's going to be La'azazel, right? He decides and he marks them with a Lashon Shel Zahorit, a little red bendel. He marks which one's going to be the one that goes out to Azazel and gets pushed off the cliff, and which one is going to be the Sa'ir Lashem. After he sets that up, he comes back to his par, and he does a second vidui on the par. Vidui, of course, is admitting all of his transgressions. There's a slight difference between the first and the second, and we'll see on the third also. But essentially, he does vidui on the first. He did his first vidui on the par, assigns these goralot on the Sa'ir Hashem and the Sa'ir Azazel, comes back to the par, does his second vidui on the par, shechts the par, collects the blood, but does nothing with it. He hands it to somebody to stir, to make sure that it won't coagulate, right? And while the person is stirring that, he takes the ketoret and brings it inside to the Kodesh Kodashim. It's a very complicated avodah because he has to carry the coals and he also has to carry the ketoret, but he has to put down the coals and then he has to take the ketoret and somehow or another get it back into both of his hands. Very, very complicated. V'zeh avodah. They're one of the kashot shebamikdash, they say. This is one of the hardest or the hardest avodah in the Beit Mikdash. And then he puts the ketoret on the coals and the incense will start to burn and fill the entire Kodesh Kodashim with smoke. Kiva anan era'e al hakaporet. The Torah tells us the Kohen Gadol has to always, in the Kodesh Kodashim, the one time that he goes in during the year, he has to fill it with smoke. Once it's filled with smoke, he comes out, takes the blood of the par that somebody was mixing, goes in, and sprinkles it seven times on the kaporet, on the Aron Kodesh. Comes out, shechts the Sa'ir, Lashem, takes the blood of the Sa'ir into the Kodesh Kodashim, and sprinkles it seven times, right? Achat lemala, the sheva lemata, right? Remember the whole way it goes from the avoda. Eight times, actually. Achas lemala, sheva lemata. And then he comes out, takes the blood of the par back again, sprinkles it on the parochet, takes the blood of the sa'ir, sprinkles it on the parochet, takes the two bloods, mixes them together, and sprinkles it on the mizbeach haktoret, which is inside, not of the Kodesh Kodashim, but inside the Kodesh, right? Where there were only three things. There was the mizbeach haktoret, the shulchan that had the lechem on it, and the menorah. Okay. Then he goes out and takes the Sa'ir La'azazel and gets ready to send it off to somewhere near Male Adumim to be thrown off of a very, very strong, steep cliff. But before he sends it out, he does his third vidui. Okay, so we have three viduis, and that's what we're going to talk about today, the lashon of the three viduis. So let's listen to the Mishnah, and if anybody has the vidui there, follow along with me. V'kachaya omer, right? Did anybody find it in your machzor? V'kachaya omer, the first vidui. So the Mishnah says, "Balo etzel paro uparo haya omed bein ha'ulam v'lamizbeach rosho l'darom ufanav l'ma'arav," giving us exact location and the exact situation of how the par, the cow, was situated. V'akohen omed b'mizrach ufanav l'ma'arav v'somech shtei yadav alav u'mitvadeh, and he presses his two hands onto the cow's head u'mitvadeh, and he admits his sins. What's the English word for vidui? Confession. There you go. V'chach haya omer. This is the Mishnah in Yoma. And follow along with me because it should be word for word essentially what the piyut says. Who has atakonanta and who has amitzkoach? Who has Ashkenaz, who has Sfard? Ashkenaz. Ashkenaz, okay. It doesn't matter for our purposes. Amitzkoach and Atakonanta pretty much should be identical here, although the last of the viduis, I think that Amitzkoach doesn't even have it. Anyway, should be word for word. V'chach haya omer, ana Hashem, aviti pashati chatati lefanecha, ani uveiti. Same as everybody has?
I have chatati.
Ah, you have a chatati, chatati, aviti pashati. Mm-hmm. Okay? The Mishnah has aviti pashati chatati. Ani uveiti, ana Hashem, kaper na la'avonot v'la'psha'im v'la'chata'im, she'aviti v'she'pashati v'she'chatati lefanecha, ani uveiti. Ka'katub b'torat Moshe, ki v'ayom hazeh yechaper lechem, v'hein onim acharav, baruch shem kivod malchuto l'yogam va'el. Any other differences between besides for the order? What? You have ana bashe.
Yeah.
That's what I really want to talk about today. The order, Chatati Aviti Pashati, is a machloket in the Gemara between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. We paskin like the Chachamim, so we don't paskin like our Mishnah, which is fine. That's the way we paskin, and Rabbi Meir has his idea. There are, though, still people today, or at least there were, that have a different order. That's not what I want to talk about. What I do want to talk about is that in your machzor and in every machzor that I have found, in the second part of the vidui, it doesn't say on a Hashem, but rather it says ana bashem. That difference, as you'll hopefully see, is a very crucial difference. The Mishnah says ana Hashem, chatati aviti pashati ani ubeiti, and ana Hashem kaperna. So first of all, what is this vidui talking about? Ana Hashem chatati aviti upashati ani ubeiti. Who is the vidui for? Who? Ani. Who's Ani? The Kohen Gadol and his house, which means his wife and his family. And the Gemara, the first Gemara in Yuma, the first Mishnah, is that he has to have a wife, because or else he can't say these words, Ani Ubeiti. And what happens, God forbid, if his wife dies on Yom Kippur? You have a second wife prepared, waiting in the back room, just in case. So he could always have a wife in order to be able to say these words, Ani Ubeiti. Ani Ubeiti, okay. The second vidui, if you want, we can jump, if anybody has a machzor, jump to the second vidui. What's the second vidui about? V'chach haya omer. Oh, it's a very complicated Gemara. No. There's divorce, and everything is... In fact, he can only have one wife, not two wives. So what does he do? He can't get married on Yontif. So he has to have a wife which is married to him al tnai, and if the first one dies, she automatically takes over, but if not, then she's divorced. And very, very complicated Gemara. The whole sugya there is very, very complicated. But what's the second? Let's read the second vidui. V'chach haya omer. What does it say? Ana Hashem. Read on. Say it out loud, can you?
Oh,
so ana Hashem, Hashem, chatati aviti upashati ani How does it say it?
Ani uveti uvnei Aaron.
Okay, the second vidui is for not just him and his house, but also for all of the Kohanim. And the third vidui, if you get to it, Ana Hashem. Oh, by the way, Ana Hashem, Ana Bashem in the second one too, right?
Yep.
Okay. And the last one, Ana Hashem. What is it? Chatu. Chatu Avu Pashu Amcha Beit Yisrael. So the third vidui is for all of Am Yisrael on the Sa'ir Azazel. And that's the way it is. The par has the kapara. The first vidui is the par is mechaper on the Kohen. The par is also mechaper on the Kohanim. And all of Am Yisrael is mitkaper by the Sa'ir Azazel. Just one little question I would ask just before we even get into any other questions. The Kohen Gadol already did vidui the first time. So what he, but he includes himself, Ani Ubeiti Ubeit Aaron, right? So he includes himself in the second vidui with all of the Kohanim, and it makes sense because he's also a Kohen, so why shouldn't he include himself in this vidui, even though he already did vidui for himself? But according to that reasoning, that logic, he should also include himself in the third vidui because he's part of Am Yisrael, is he not? So why should he not be able to be part of himself, but part of that? Very strange, but maybe if we have a couple of minutes, we'll get to it. This nusach that you have, Ana Hashem, in the beginning and Ana Bashem, is a nusach, as I said, almost every machzer has, but almost every Gemara and Rishon, or many, many Rishonim, don't have that. As we've seen, the Mishnah says, Ana Hashem Chatati, Ana Hashem Kaperna. The Tosefta, again, Ana Hashem, Ana Hashem. The Tosefta is from the time of the Mishnah. And even if you look in the Rambam says, Vidui, this is a good way of doing a little bit of a summary. So we'll say, Zeh she'nemar ba'Torah v'chiper ba'ado v'ad beito ba'ad kol kahal Yisrael, Mipi ha'shmua lamdu sheze vidui dvarim. The pasuk is talking about vidui. Nimtzeit gamed shehu mitvadeh bayom ze shlosha viduyim. The Kohen Gadol has three different confessions that he makes. Echad al yedei atzmo tchila, first for himself. Vidui sheni al yedei atzmo im shara kohanim, the second vidui for himself and for the other kohanim. Ushnehem al parachatat ashero, both of those on the cow, the chatat cow, v'havidui shlishi al yidei kol Yisrael al sa'ir hamishtalech. The third vidui, as we said, is on the sa'ir that goes out to Azazel. Umazkir et Hashem b'chol vidui mehen shalosh pa'amin. And he says the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name of God, three times at each vidui. Ketzad, how does he say it? Hu omer, ana Hashem chatati avitiu pashati lefanecha. Shame number one. Ana Hashem kaper nala chataim v'lavonot v'lapshaim shechatati v'shaviti v'shepashati. Sheneemar, that was the second Hashem. Sheneemar, ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem letaher etchem mikol chatoteichem lifnei Hashem titharu. Harei shalosh pa'amim mizkirat Hashem, three times he mentions the name. V'chein b'chol vidui mehen uchishuhu noten et hagoral al sa'ir achatat. And when he picks up the goral, and it's going to be one to Azazel and one to Hashem, he actually says the words when he places it on the Sa'ir Chatat, Omer l'Hashem Chatat. Again, the name of Hashem, Nimtza Mazkir et Hashem b'yom ze eser pa'amim. And that's a braita in Masechet Yoma, that the Kohen Gadol says the name of Hashem 10 times. Uvechulam, and this is an important point that the Rambam brings down. Uvechulam hu mazkir kichtavo. He doesn't say the name, the word hey shin mem Hashem. What does he say? The name of God, Hashem Amforash. The actual name. Which name is that? Yud kei vav kei. That's the name of God. Barishona hayam agbia et kolo b'shem kivan sherabu prutzim chazru leomro b'kol namuch. Okay, whatever the point is, he said it out loud, he said it quietly, but that's what we're saying. When the Kishakoanim, Va'am, Ma'umdim, Ba'azara, you Shomim, את השם הנכבד והנורא יוצא מפי כהן גדול, היו קוראים ומשתחווים, and that's the point, right after he says the name of God, everybody hears the name of God and they bow down, the kohanim, or the am, whatever it is. Okay. Yeah. According to the Rambam, he says the name of God, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, not Adonai as we say it, but rather the full Shem, Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the Shem HaMeforash. And that's the way the Rambam understands it. We have to finish by 7. We're going to have to move. I don't know if we're going to be able to. I may keep you a few minutes longer. Okay. Ana Hashem, Ana Bashem. Where did the Bashem come from? Well, if you look at the Gemara in Yoma, right on the side, you'll find Tosfot there that points us in that direction. Tosfot, right on the side of the Gemara in Yoma, the first Mishnah, the first of the Mishnah that I was talking about, which is Daf Lamed Hei. Tosfot, right on the side, says, Ana Hashem, Birushalmi Yesh, Debarishona Amar Ana Hashem, Ubashnia Amar Ana Bashem, Kaperna. And that, the Tosfos is talking about a Yushalmi. The Yushalmi is Mesechet Yoma Perek Gimel. Amar Rav Chagai, Barishona Omer Ana Hashem, Ubashnia Omer Ana Bashem. Okay, that's the Yushalmi in the name of Rav Chagai. The first time you say Ana Hashem, the second time you say Ana Bashem. The Rishonim now don't know what to do with themselves. Because you have a giant Balagan. Do you say Ana Bashem or do you say Ana Hashem? And you have just everybody weighing in on it and everybody saying something different.
What are these kilo like written in code
5? Oh, okay. We'll talk about one of the tefillot. You know what? I'll get into it exactly now. Okay. The Amitz Koach was written by Rabbi Shalom ben Kalanimus, I think in the 12th century or maybe even later. Most of the Rishonim had in front of them Atakonanta, which is what we have. There is confusion, however, as to who wrote Atakonanta and what was going on about it. Why? Because one of the most famous and important of the Paitanim is Yossi ben Yossi. Yossi ben Yossi lived probably in the 4th or 5th century in Eretz Yisrael. He's an Eretz Yisrael Paitan, may not actually have known about the Bavli, because most of the things that he writes are coming from the Yerushalmi when he talks about it. He wrote 3 piyutim on the Avodah of Yom Kippur. One of them is called Atakonanta. The Rishonim in the early Middle Ages often thought that the Atakonanta that they had was written by Yossi ben Yossi, because there was this tradition that Yossi ben Yossi had written an Atakonanta. The Gaonim, their Atakonanta actually was the Atakonanta of Yossi ben Yossi. So there's a lot of confusion. But the Atakonanta that we have, the piyut that we have, was not written by Yossi ben Yossi. It was actually written later on in the 10th century or so by an anonymous person. We don't know who he is. The Atakonanta follows very, very carefully the Mishnayot and almost always is according to the way that the Gemara comes out with the Halacha. Except in a few places. And if you ask, the bottom line of why is it that we have this Ana Bashem as opposed to Ana Hashem, which many, 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 many of the Rishonim had, and I'm not going to go into it now, the Rush and the Rashba and the Ritva and the Maharil, everybody weighs in on this and talks about it. But the bottom line, our Atakonanta was shaped and the Posek for how we have our Atakonanta today was the Beit Yosef. The Beit Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, wrote a treatise on the Tur, the Arba Turim, which was the first, really after the Rambam, it codified all of Jewish halacha, the Tur. The Beit Yosef Rav Yosef Karo wrote a commentary on the Tur, the Beit Yosef, and then of course the Beit Yosef, he wrote then the Shulchan Aruch, which Yosef Karo wrote. So the Shulchan Aruch, which is the basis of all of our halacha, really started out as the Beit Yosef, which was a commentary on the Torah. So you might almost say that the Torah is really the basis for all of our halacha. The Torah was the son of the Rush, so you might really say that the Rush is the basis for all of our halacha, but then you could always go back and find out who all of them, and all of his teachers and so on. The Beit Yosef in Tafresh Kaf Aleph on the tour, which is the Hilchot Yom Kippur, brings down his changes to the Atta Konanta. And there are, I don't know, maybe 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 or so changes where he says, the Atta Konanta says like this, but I say we should say like this because that's really the way we paskin the halacha. Maybe if we have an opportunity in another shir, we can go through some of those changes. Ani HaShafel, I argue with the Beit Yosef on one of his changes. I think that it was the wrong change. But in any event, this here, the Beit Yosef paskins with respect to what are we supposed to do, Ana Hashem, Ana Bashem. And he speaks about it in the Beit Yosef on the tour. I'll just quote it here. The important part is, V'zeh nuscho Ana Hashem chatati aviti pashati. Right, umashakasuv Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu is, of course, the tour. V'tanya b'tosefta on Hashem. V'chein yesh b'ksat kirsaot. V'kach katuv b'sefer shiruf. Okay, so at the end of the day, the Beit Yosef says, "Ana b'Hashem kaper na, v'yesh b'miktzat kirsaot b'sfarim b'sheni b'Hashem." That's all he's quoting the tour, and then he says, "V'girsa nechonahi be'enai." The Beit Yosef accepts that. The Beit Yosef also had Shilos and Tshuvos called Avkat Rochel, and there he says specifically in the Avkat Rochel, and I'm going to leave, by the way, a copy of all of these Mar Makomot, so you can look at them afterwards if anybody wants. He says, he paskins according to what the Rush had said, that he likes Rav Chagai. Why does he like Rav Chagai in the Yerushalmi? Because he says the Ihu haya baki benuschat hamishnat veminan. Rav Chagai, who lives in Eretz Israel in the 3rd, 4th, 4th, 5th century, is certainly somebody who knows the girsa of the Mishnah better. If he says Ana Bashem, he must be quoting it from a Mishnah. He knows it better than we do. We have all kinds of manuscripts that get corrupt or whatever. We have all kinds of different girsaot, all kinds of different versions that have come down to us, but he probably knew it best. So we're going to rely on him. And also he says, V'haposkim shekatvu ana Hashem, lo lifsok halacha. They didn't really say this lahalacha. Why? Because she'ein zeh hadavar talui b'psak halacha, kiven she'ein isur b'davar. It doesn't make sense that somebody should paskin how you say a piyut. A piyut, everybody can say whatever they want. So these piyutim, these poems, it doesn't really matter. But the bottom line is that Beit Yosef accepted the idea of saying Ana Bashem, and ultimately that's why we do it. Whatever the Beit Yosef said, that's more or less what we do. Okay, so now let's get into the bigger question. What's the difference? What are we talking about? What's the difference between when I say Chatati aviti pashati, and when I say kaper na la'avonot v'la'chataim v'la'psha'im, what's the difference? You understand the words? Chatati aviti pashati means what?
Sin.
I sinned. Different kinds of sins. The second part of the vidui is kaper na la'avonot v'la'psha'im v'la'chataim. What does that mean? Forgive us, forgive me. The first part is I am admitting my sins. The first part is really confession. The first part is vidui. The second part is not confession, it's not vidui. The second part is what? Tefillah. It's a prayer to God. So first of all, there could be a difference then in how you address God when you're talking about the transgressions that you've done, and when you're trying to talk to him about that he should forgive you. And in fact, we're going to move a little bit quickly now. In fact, some of the people say that's exactly the difference between Kaper Na and when you say Ana Hashem and Ana Bashem. Hashem is the name of God, right? I'm addressing God. Please God, Ana Hashem, Chatati, Aviti, Pashati. But then I'm saying afterwards, Ana Vashem. What does that mean exactly? Please forgive me. One idea which is brought down by the Karban Nisanel, very interesting. And he says like this. He says, I'll read it inside because it's so interesting, and a lot of people have taken this approach. The Karban Taner quotes, he says like this, Bari Shona Hayu Omrim Ana Hashem Ubashniya Anu Bashem. The first one, Ana Hashem, second one, Bashem. Dichi Shehaya Kohen Gadol Mitvade B'Yom Kippurim Az Haya Mazkir Hashem B'Kinuyo. When he would do vidui, that first part, he would only mention God's name in its kinui. What's kinui? A nickname. Okay? Like when we say Hashem, that's a nickname. Or even when we say Adonai, that's a nickname. The true essential name of God is Yud Kei Vav Kei. And there are even more essential names of God. But then when he said the tefillah, please forgive me, he would say not that, but he would say what? The actual name hamiforash, the actual essential name of God. Kichtavo, as it was written. Ulechach nahagu chazanim lomar ana bashem kaperna. So when we say the vidui ana Hashem, the shame, Hashem, like we always say Hashem, it was Ador. You know, that's the Ado and Noi is the way it would have been pronounced, as opposed to the Yud Kei Vav Kei. But when the Kohen Gadol said, please God forgive me, he would have said that specific name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei. And so what do we say? What did the Chazanim say to mark the difference between the way the Kohen Gadol would use the names of the different names of God? We'd say, Ana Bashem, in that special name, replace this parentheses here with the actual name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's very, very intriguing and interesting idea. Ana Bashem, other people say it wasn't the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, but it was the Mem Bet name of God, that special 42-letter name of God, which had all kinds of crazy magical properties. And not only that, but some of the some people, including Shaul Lieberman, who wrote Tosefta Kipshuta, said that it was actually swearing in the name of God, right? Almost a hard thing for us to understand in this day and age, because we would never, ever, ever do such a thing. But yet, that's what he said, Ana Bashem, that it was a kind of swearing in the name of God, so that God had no alternative but to forgive us. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, quoting the Taz, you say Ana Hashem, and in the second one Ana Bashem. Shekishem Mivakesh Rachamim Ala Kapara Yesh Gomar Ana Bashem Kilomar Shakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshia Al Yedei Shem Ha'etzem. Almost saying in the name of God, which is Kulo Rachamim No Din Kabbalah things. The Rav says something very interesting, or Soloveitchik. He says, we get our kapara from the name of God. We're using the name of God. And he says almost like, Maha mikva metahir es Yisrael, afa kadosh baruch hu, Maha mikva metahir es hatmeim, afa kadosh baruch hu metahir et Yisrael. Where do we find our forgiveness on Yom Kippur? We find it in God and in God's name. That's the ba, in God. In God we find our kapara. All very, very interesting. All very, very, very beautiful. But now, with the few minutes I have left, I want to go in a completely and absolutely different direction. One of the articles that I read was by somebody by the name of Yudel Epstein, who writes, he doesn't understand how you could ever say the word Bashem. Because if you're saying Bashem, the one God, if you will, he said that doesn't make sense in Hebrew. Why doesn't it make sense in Hebrew? Right? Yair Friedman, Ben Bini, Harav Bini, from Rehov HaGoren in Efrat. That is a unique identification of a one and only person, the only time he ever lived, the only one who is. Would I ever say the Yair Friedman, son of Rav Bini, who lives. I would never use that word, the. Why? Because if I want to say the smart one, the brother, the son, I mean that there are many, and I'm saying a specific one. Says Ibn Ezra, in Shmot, when God introduces himself, there are four things we will never find when it comes to God's name. You'll never use God's name in the past, or present, or future. It doesn't make sense. You can't say Godded, right? That doesn't make sense for God. It doesn't make sense. A name is a one and only name. And he gives four different things he'll never have. The other thing that he says, you will never find Ha Yudke Vavke. The Yudke Vavke. Because God is the essential, this Yudke Vavke is the essential name of God. There is only one God. His name uniquely identifies him, so you will never find the Hey Hayidiah in front of God's name. Bashem, Biha, Yudke Vavke could never have been. And this Rav Yudel Epstein, he goes crazy over it. He says, absolutely can't make sense. I don't know what everybody, all the Rishonim and all the Achronim are talking about. It cannot make sense. It has to be that Bashem never was ever meant to be Ba Yudke Vavke. Ella, he said, it must have been Bishem Yudke Vavke. That makes sense. If the actual Nusach was Bishem Yudke Vavke, that makes sense. In the name of God, not in the God, or in the Yudke Vavke as opposed to other Yudke Vavke. Chas v'shalom, that's Kfira, that's Apikorsus. But it must have been, the Nusach must have been Bishem Hashem.
He uses the difference between Aleph and Bet between the names?
Yeah, but the Hey means Hashem, the Bah is short for Bishem Hashem. I took a look after I saw that in Yossi ben Yossi. In not his Atakonanta, but rather in the second one of his piyutim called Azkir Gevurot Elok. Please, who can read it? I need somebody to read it because you're not going to trust me if I read it. What does Yossi ben Yossi say in the V'chachaya Omer? Where are we? V'chachaya Omer.
Okay. V'chachaya Omer, Ana Hashem, Hashem, Chatati, Aviti, Pashati, Omecha, Ani uveti uvnei Aaron, Am kiloshecha, Ana bashem, Hashem, Kapana, Kapatayim, Lila Avonot.
Yossi ben Yossi certainly knew Hebrew. And how does he say the vidui? Ana Hashem, Hashem, Yudke Vavke. Hashem, Hey Shin Mem, Yudke Vavke. Ana Bishem, Hashem, Kaperna. I saw this and I said, oh, he was the Chaventer of Yudel Epstein. 1,000 years before, actually 1,500 years before. What's the problem, though? The problem is, which vidui were we talking about now?
Second.
How do you know?
Because
he said, no, listen again. V'chachaya omer, ana Hashem Hashem, chatati aviti pashati lefanecha, ani uveiti ubnei aaron. Remember there are three viduis? What about the first vidui? Let's see what Yossi ben Yossi has to say in the first of the viduis. V'chachaya omer, ana Hashem, chatati aviti pashati gufanecha ani ubeti. Ana Hashem, kaper na'al chataim. What about the third vidui? Remember that one's for who? For all of Am Yisrael. V'yachakach balo eitzel sa'ir ha-mishtaleach v'somech shtei yadav alav v'nitvada. V'chach haya omer, Ana Hashem chatu avu pashu lefanecha. Ana Hashem kaper naslachnu lechatayim la'avonot. And yet, in the middle vidui, Yossi ben Yossi says, Ana b'shem Hashem chatati, Ana b'shem Hashem kaper na. That doesn't make any sense. Who is he going like? Well, maybe this version of Yossi ben Yossi's piyut reads Rav Chagai a little differently. Remember what Rav Chagai said? Barishona hu omer ana Hashem, bashniya hu omer ana Bashem. What could Bashnia mean?
The second
of the three viduis. Not the second part of each vidui, but the second of the viduis. Now here, if you can give me just two more minutes.
Sorry, but then why does he mention the third one?
No, oh, he doesn't. He's the third one, of course, he's going to go back to the first one. All I care about, Rav Chagai, is the second one. That's a good question. But I want to present an idea. And I don't know if you'll like it, but I'm going to present it. Why in tarnations, I don't know if there is even a word like that anymore, why in the second of all the viduis would you ever change the nusach? Ana Hashem chatati aviti pashati. Ana Hashem chatati aviti pashati aniu beit aron. Right? Ana Hashem chatu avu pashu. Why all of a sudden in the middle one would you say Ana b'shem Hashem? And I want to suggest, let me give you a mashal. I woke up this morning, and I'm a normal guy. I go to my job, and I really had a very, very bad day. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and then I spilled my coffee on myself, and I got into an accident on the way to work, and I got into a fight with my kids. I get to work, and I am in a very, very, very bad mood. And so, let's say my secretary comes in, right? Or anybody who works with me. They come into the office, and I just bite their head off. What? That person's going to leave my office, and what are they going to say? What a jerk. What a jerk. I don't need this. Maybe they'll quit. They're going to curse me out. They're going to think I'm a horrible, horrible person. And they're right. Now let me give you a second scenario. The Kohen that works in the Beis HaMikdash gets out of bed in the morning, steps on a Lego, then spills his coffee on himself, then gets into a donkey accident on the way to work. And he just had the worst possible day. And some Yoledet, or some Mitzora, or some just the guy who's coming to bring a Chatat or an Ola walks in, and he bites their head off. He yells at them, what are you bringing me? Shnei Torim, I told you you have to bring me something else. What? Don't you know anything about the way you're supposed to go? You're not supposed to come to me first. You're supposed to go to the Lishkat Hatla'im, and you're supposed to get your petek for the... And he yells at the person. When that person leaves the Kohen, what's he going to say? Is he going to say, oh, what a jerk? Or he's going to say something far worse. He's going to say, this is the representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what I came to the Beis HaMikdash for. This is the way I get treated when all I wanted to do was come close to Hashem, and Hashem treats me this, Hashem's emissaries treat me this way. I would like to suggest that any time a Kohen sins, it's not only a chet of him personally, but it's a chet b'shem Hashem. He sins, and immediately it's going to be taken to be the representative of Hashem sinning. It's not fair, but that's the way it's going to be. Let me just finish for a second. I want to read to you a beautiful perek, and the idea, I think, really gets us across. V'yedatem ki shilachti aleichem et ha-mitzvah hazot liyot briti et Levi. Okay, this is talking about the brit that Hashem has with the Kohanim. Briti haita ito, ha-chayim v'ha-shalom, ve'etneim lo morav v'yira'eni u'mipnei shmi nechetu. Right? This is talking about what the ideal Kohen is. Chayim v'shalom. Torat emet haita b'fihu. Ve'avla lo nimtza b'sfatav. He gave over to the Jewish people, to the Am, Torat emet. B'shalom uv'mishor halachiti. He went with me in peace, in understanding, and in straightforwardness. V'rabi meshiv me'avon. And many, many people he brought back from sinning. Ki siftei koin yishmeru dat, V'torah yivakshu mipihu. Because people came to him to look for the Torah. Ki malach Adonai tzva'otu. He is actually an angel of God. V'atem sartem min aderech, hichshaltem rabim b'torah. But when the Kohen sins, hichshaltem rabim b'torah. Many people he caused to sin. Shichatem brit ha-levi, amar Hashem tzvakot. I think that the point is that the Kohen, at least according to this way of understanding Yossi ben Yossi, the Kohen has a special vidui and a special kapara that he has to ask from God. Not only does he ask God for forgiveness, and not only did he sin to God, but he sinned b'shem Hashem, in the name of God, and he has to ask forgiveness b'shem Hashem. And I just want to say, the Kohen was the teacher in those days. The Kohen was the representative of God on earth in those days. But in this day, it's not only the case. To a certain extent, everybody who's a teacher, anybody who's involved in any of the Ma'arechet HaChinuch, they are a role model. And when you sin, when you're a role model, it's a hard job to be a role model. But you're not just sinning as an individual, you're sinning as a role model. And I'm going to take it one step further. We, you, who wear kippot, you are religious people, datiyim. People look at you, and when you act in the way, in a certain way that you act, which I'm sure is the way that you always act, as beautiful B'nai Torah, that's a Kiddush Hashem. But if ever there's a lapse, and you walk out, and somebody sees you just being mishtolel, like you deserve to do, and that would, in any other case, in many other contexts, let's say it was in the middle of your Beit Medrash, who cares? It's you being silly. But if you do that outside and somebody sees you and they say, oh, that's what a person who wears a kippah, that's what they do, that's what a person who sits and learns does, your sin is not only a sin, Lashem, that's okay, that's easy to do kapara, but your sin is a sin, B'Shem Hashem. And I think that you have to ask, we all have to ask a very, very special vidui and a very special forgiveness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we do that and over the year that we have done that. And I really, truly believe that this is what Yossi ben Yossi in Azkir Vorot Eloah is trying to say about the Ana Hashem, Ana B'Shem Hashem. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Can I say,
you know, Shadrach?
Yeah.